I told Shane, I said, it's a funny thing, the process that I go through in the week as far as where we're going with the Lord on Sunday mornings. I think it's a wrestling match with me. Just really, like it's just a wrestling match a lot of times with me. And I had a word I thought that I've had lots of giblets of notes on and thought I was going to go there. And then by Wednesday morning, no, I'm not going to go there. I think maybe the Lord wants me to go here. And Wednesday evening at prayer, settled it. And he spoke to me. He said, no, you go back to that word. That's where I want you to go. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to share a few stories that we're very familiar with. It's not a matter of trying to bore you with a story that you already know, but it is a matter of looking at it maybe from a little bit different perspective this morning. I'm going to be talking to you about, and it's funny that the Lord began talking to Trey as well. We kind of might be tag teaming this morning. But about the fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. So let's just get right into it. We know the story of Joseph, that he was sold into slavery. The guy who bought him was Potiphar. He was an officer in Pharaoh's army, you might say, or whatever. He was actually the captain of the guard. Joseph had favor with God, though, while he was there working with Potiphar, and so Potiphar put him over his whole household. You know the story of Potiphar's wife? She tried to seduce him and get him to lay with her, is the way the Bible puts it, and that really puts pressure on. I don't know, she might have been a gorgeous woman. I have no clue. But you think about, this is Potiphar, my boss man's wife. And she's trying to seduce me, and I mean, I don't know how this thing could turn or how this thing could go, but the pressure that he must have felt, but he would not do it, but partly because of his honor of Potiphar, but he said straight out, he said, how could I do this wickedness and sin against God? No matter what pressure you're putting on me, I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. He feared God more than this woman and what she could do to him. And she actually did lie on him and made it look like he was trying to seduce her or molest her or whatever, force himself on her. And Potiphar was angry, so he had Joseph put in prison. But God's favor was on him. And he was actually put in charge of the prison. And there he also met the baker, the butler, who both had dreams. Joseph interpreted both of their dreams. Later came a time when Pharaoh had a dream, and they told him about Joseph. He sent for Joseph. Joseph not only interpreted the dream, but he gave him counsel as to what to do about this dream. So turn with me to Genesis 41. Verse 37. So the advice that Joseph had given to Pharaoh, the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne I will be greater. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. He took his signet ring and took it off and put it on him, clothed him in garments of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, let him ride in the second chariot that he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. My point that I want to make to you in that is no matter what pressure is put on you, no matter what other people would say or do to you, it matters what God thinks. It matters what God has to say. And the fear of God is the priority. You're always better off, always, always, always better off to fear God rather than man. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says that the fear of man brings a snare. And the way the Passion Translation says it says, fear and intimidation is a trap. Fear and intimidation, it's a trap. It holds you back. So, you know, this woman put the pressure on him, but I love how he went right straight to basically saying, I fear God more than you. I fear God more than man. I mean, I've already been to jail, okay? I fear God more than you. I've already been in a pit. I've already been sold into slavery. I love that he did that. Because first of all, the fear of man's a trap. But the next thing is, if you will fear God rather than man, God will watch out for you. God will see to you. Doesn't matter what pressure is put on you. Doesn't matter the intimidation that they may bring against you. Because those things will lead to compromising. Fear and intimidation of what other people think will lead you to compromise. You are aware of that. When people put the pressure on you, the pressure is there to get you to compromise what you believe or what God would say. And if you will fear God more than man, God will look out for you. The rest of that verse in Proverbs 29 says, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll be safe. And God watched out for Joseph. He looked out for him. Yeah, he went to jail where he was put in charge. And then he was made second in command in Egypt, all throughout Egypt. He had the power and the influence to actually save the whole world from a famine. He didn't compromise. He wouldn't compromise in a really compromising situation. Okay, let's look at Moses. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, which is 50 days after Passover. And the first Pentecost is where God wanted the children of Israel to meet him at Mount Sinai because he wanted to meet with the people. Well, we know how the story went. They were scared. They're like, no, we're horrified of him, all the thunderings and lightnings and the loud trumpet sound and so forth. They were scared. So in Exodus 19, it says Moses went up the mountain. While he's there in the presence of God, I've jotted down some things. He gave him the Ten Commandments. He gave him laws concerning anything from violence to the widows to the orphans. He gave him the information and the commands of how to do the feasts of the Lord. He ratified his covenant with Moses. He gave him instructions on the tabernacle, every detail, what to make it out of, the wood that was to be used, every single detail about it, the furniture for the tabernacle, the details on that, the priesthood, how they were to be cleansed, how they were to dress, how they were to bring their daily offerings. I mean, everything, the altar, the oil, the anointing oil, everything. He gave instruction. He even also appointed craftsmen and artisans who were going to be building the tabernacle and the furniture. Now, Moses was up there 40 days. Keep in mind, the children of Israel have been in Egypt for 400 years, okay? Ever since Joseph was taken there, okay? They've been there all this time. And in Egypt, you worship multiple gods. There's a god for everything. Multiple gods. So now Israel is out of Egypt, they believed in God, but they also have been there where there was multiple idol and God worship, other God worship. Okay, not God, God. So they believed in God, but they also believed in these other gods. They also believed in them. And so while he's up there 40 days and 40 nights, they said, perhaps we need another God to help us since Moses is not coming back. I mean, we don't know what's become of him. And look at Exodus 32. Verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said, come, make us gods that will go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, made a molded calf, and they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They rose early the next morning. Well, it says day. Might not have been too early. I don't know. Offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings. People sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, you know the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story, right? God says, what about your people down here? It appears to me, when I'm looking at this and reading this, that Aaron was pretty quick to appease the people. Didn't it kind of look like that to y'all? Now, he's in charge. He's their leader while Moses is up on the mountain with God. He's in charge. Look at verse 21. Moses comes back down. God is angry and so is Moses, okay? He comes back and here's what Moses says to Aaron. This is the one who's supposed to be in charge. He says to him, what did these people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they're set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him. I said to them, whoever has gold, let him break it off. They gave it to me. I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Really? It sounded like something a child would say. Children do say stuff like that. I don't know how it got here. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies. So Moses stood there and said, okay, whoever is on the Lord's side, come here. And 3,000 Jews died that day. 3,000 Jews. The way the Message translation says this, verse 25, it said, Aaron let them run wild, disgracing themselves before their enemies. You know, they didn't realize this, but they were actually influencing the other nations. If you'll pay attention, when they got to Jericho, Rahab told them, we heard about how your God delivered you crossing the Red Sea, and we were terrified of you because of your God. They had no clue how the rest of the nations were watching them. He said, they disgraced themselves before their enemies. Enemies were watching them. Interesting that Moses looks to Aaron Because he's the one who's accountable. He's the one who's responsible. He's the one who's in the lead position. He said, what did these people do? What did they do to you? How did you let them intimidate you like this? How did you let them pressure you like this to bring such sin upon them? Well, I mean, you might could say, well, count them. There's about 3 million of them and one of me. Looks to me like he jumped pretty quick. But still, Moses is saying, how did you let them do this to you so that you gave in? How could you have feared the people more than God? How could you have done that? This was a leader who compromised because he feared the people more than he did the Lord. And like I said, it didn't even look to me like he even tried to stand his ground. He was intimidated. He compromised. He yielded to the pressure of these other people. This is dangerous as believers, but it's also dangerous as a leader. Ask King Saul. Ask King Saul. He lost his kingdom. He disobeyed because he feared the people over God. 1 Samuel 15:24 said, this is what he said, King Saul. He said, I have sinned, for I transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, the prophet Samuel's words, because I feared the people. Because I feared the people, I obeyed them. He cared what the people thought. You know, a couple of chapters back, in 1 Samuel 13, it says this. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel 13, verse 11, here's another prior situation that happened. And Samuel goes out to meet him and said, what have you done? Saul said, well, when I saw the people were scattered from me and you didn't come within the days appointed and that the Philistines were gathering together at Michmash, however you say it, then I said, the Philistines are going to gather, come down on me at Gilgal, and I haven't made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and I offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. You've not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be the commander of his people because you did not keep what the Lord said, what he commanded you to do. Why did he not keep it? Because he was afraid. The people were leaving. The people are scattering. I'm losing them. I'm losing them. I feel compelled. I got to do something. I got to do something quick. He feared the people more than he feared the Lord. There's a pattern you can see with him of caring what other people thought. It's dangerous for a leader, but it's also dangerous for the people he's leading. You think about it in our world today. You know, Saul was feeling pressure because the people were leaving. But we have pastors and leaders in the church today who are giving way to pressure and compromising in areas because they're afraid of losing the people. They're afraid. So they got to keep things a certain way so they don't lose them. They care what other people think. They care what they might say about them. And the thing is will we allow intimidation or pressure to cause us to compromise? To compromise what's right before God. To compromise what God's Word says. There's things God's very clear on that churches are voting on. And God's Word's already clear. It's not up for, it's not on the referendum for vote. God's Word's already clear. The LGBTQ, whatever else letters that go with it. It's very clear. There are churches that are compromising because they're afraid of the people and they compromise with that. They compromise with abortion. that compromise with Marxist ideologies and wokeism. They're afraid of the people. They fear the people rather than God. They're afraid to speak the truth. They're intimidated by the fear of men. So they compromise. You can be tempted to compromise to keep your job. Intimidated by your boss, maybe other employees. Fear of losing your job. Fear of what other people would say. You could compromise in your home, afraid to stand for truth. Afraid of what your kids would do. They'll thank you later. They'll thank you later. Kira used to get so angry with me. When she was 18 years old, she said, "Thank you for not letting me do thus and such." She did. She thanked me. Didn't you, honey? Where are you? She ain't even here for me to rag her. But she did. She thanked me later. I'll tell you something else. If you don't stand for what's truth, they won't respect you. They won't respect you. And the ones who are intimidating you, if you give way and you compromise and you allow them to intimidate you, you allow the pressure, they won't respect you either. They won't even respect you. When you fear people, when you fear the loss of people, when you're afraid, and I talked about you while you were out, Kiri. I talked about you. She said you always do. That's what happens when you're the oldest. You get it. When you fear losing people, when you fear, and you always have to appease people. You want everybody to like you. You want everybody to accept you. You want to fit in everywhere. You lose your leadership. You lose respect. You disgrace yourself in the kingdom. You disgrace yourself even before other people. I mean, we've seen that in the Word. You're better off always, 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 always to fear the Lord over man. Always, always, always. I want to read this to you. I've got a couple of verses I'm going to read to you. This one I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12, verse 4. This is something that Jesus said. "My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more that they can do. But I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast you into hell. I say to you, fear him." Fear God, not man, is what he's saying. Fear the Lord. Don't fear the man. Fear the Lord. Proverbs 9 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning. Now, here's another story here I want to just share with you, just another situation real quick, from John chapter 12. I've read this before. I guess I never looked at it in light of this quite as clearly as I did when the Lord brought it to my attention. Then it was one of those real eye-opening moments. John chapter 12, verse 42. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers," we're talking about rulers of the synagogue, "even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." These are some of the rulers in the synagogue. They believed in Jesus. But because of fear of being put out of the synagogue, fear of the Pharisees putting them out of the synagogue, it says they would not confess him. Now, there's a couple of things about that word confess. In Matthew 10, I'll just turn there, but if you're taking notes, you can jot down Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him also before my Father who's in heaven." But whoever denies me before men, him also I will deny before my Father who's in heaven. How many of you want Jesus to confess you before the Father? Okay. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. I also say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. How many of you need angels bearing you up in their hands? But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. I'm not sure what that looks like. Does that look like possibly like, no, don't go help him? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But it says he'll be denied before the angels. And you know, we know from the word in Romans chapter 10 that with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you get saved. It isn't enough just to believe in your heart. People say things like, oh, well, he believes. Well, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. Woo-woo. So you believe. Right? It isn't enough just to say, I believe. Confession is made unto salvation. These guys believed who he was. They believed in him, but they would not confess him. I mean, they may have gotten that right later. I sure hope so. So, let's go back to Moses. Are y'all okay? Back to Moses. While he's with God and God's giving all these instructions, the children of Israel are doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And Moses had to come back down the mountain and deal with that, right? He had to deal with Aaron. He had to deal with the people. 3,000 Jews were killed that day. Were slain. And he also had to deal with the Lord. And I don't mean like he had to deal with God in that kind of a way. But I mean he had to deal with a situation with the Lord because what the Lord said was, I am not going with you. I'll send an angel before you and the angel can carry you into the land and wipe out all the inhabitants of the land before you, but I'm not going with you. And it was so funny because he said, lest I consume these people along the way because they are a stiff-necked, rebellious, hard-hearted people. In other words, he said, I ain't going because before we ever get there, I'll be done killed some of them. That's what he said, lest I consume them along the way because I know what kind of people they are. Wow. That's intense. But I don't have a scripture to prove this. But if you'll hear the heart of it and listen to me just a minute, I think you'll follow what I'm saying. I also think the Lord was checking Moses' heart. I think he may have been checking his heart. Will he care more about carrying the people into the promised land? Or will he care more about my presence going with him? Will he care more about the promised land or will he care more about me being with him? Which will he care more about? And it's really cool because Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't. We're not going. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. You find this in chapter 33 of Exodus. If your presence doesn't go with us, then don't lead us. We're not going. And then he went on and he said this, how will the nations, we should probably turn there, huh? Turn to Exodus 33. Let's just look at it. Verse 15 of Exodus 33. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth. In other words, God, you're the one thing that makes us different than everybody else. Your presence is what makes us stand out different from everybody else. Not that you say I'm a Christian or you go to thus and such church. No, the fact that His presence is with you is what causes you to stand out and be distinctly His people. And He said, how are they going to know if your presence doesn't go with us? How are they going to know who you are? Because your grace on us, that's what they see. They see how good you are to us, how you have taken such good care of us. How are they going to know who you are except they see how gracious you are to us and that your presence is on us? Y'all, that's amazing to me. And God said, I'm going. I love it. God said, I'll go. That's all I needed to hear. Yeah, I just think that the Lord may have just wanted to see what His heart was. I think Moses had a respect, an awe, and a healthy fear of the Lord. I believe he did. So, Moses had to deal with all this stuff. Aaron, the people, and this little situation between him and the Lord, right? He had to deal with that. But the word, and I would say those were major distractions, wouldn't you? Like, God gave me all this stuff on the mountaintop, in His presence. God gave me, He talked to me and gave me all this stuff. And I have come back down this mountain mad as fire and got to deal with these things. God also said He won't go with me. I had to work through that. I just would say that those could be major distractions. I don't know about y'all. Have y'all ever had the Lord, had an encounter with the Lord or felt like you heard the Lord speak some things? Other things came along and distracted you and then you kind of don't remember exactly everything He said? Is that only me or has that ever happened to y'all? Yeah, it's happened to me. I'm like, what was it you said? I'm sorry, Lord. The Bible goes on to say in Exodus 39, Moses had the tabernacle. They built it according to all that God had commanded him on the mountain. Indeed, it was done just as God commanded. They built every bit of it just like God told him to. Just like God told him when he was up there in God's presence. I love that. He feared God more than these people. 2-3 million Jews. He feared the Lord more than them. He might have got mad at them and got in his flesh sometimes. We saw that. We see that in the Word. But he never allowed them to intimidate him to compromise what God had said. You don't see that. We're living in a day, in an hour, where it could become harder and harder to stand your ground. And you must have a greater and greater resolve and settling of your heart to stand against intimidation and pressure, end time pressure. We're coming into a time where I'm concerned that many would be afraid of what man could do. And you know, Jesus actually gave warning of this. Don't be afraid of what men can do to you. Trust the Lord. He will look out for you. Fear Him only. The fear of the Lord is the answer in standing your ground. Not allowing other people, what they say about you, what they would do to you, what they would think of you. I shared with them this morning about there were two girls at Columbine High School years ago in that very tragic event that took place. And there was someone who shared this that I'm about to share with you. And I've shared it here before, but I think it bears sharing again just to remind us. One of the girls, the guy came up to them and said, are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And it was posed to her to deny him. Except for she said, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. And he shot her and killed her right there. The other thing, though, was the girl right next to her who was with her heard that whole thing. He turned to her and asked her the same thing. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. And he killed her, too. Seeing that first girl, I mean, you weren't sure exactly what would happen with the first girl. But seeing what happened to the first girl, she had an opportunity to go, she didn't. She quickly said, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing full well she'd die right then. And she did. And that's a teenage girl in high school. Made me proud. I don't believe the Lord's coming back right this minute. I don't. I believe it's coming. I believe it's soon. We're closer than we have been for sure. And we see a lot of signs that it is, that we are in last days. I don't know how long before he'll come. I have no idea when he's coming back. I just know that it's looking like we are moving in that direction more and more, closer and closer. And we are seeing things we've never seen before. We're dealing with things we've never dealt with before. There are people in the church being persecuted. There are pastors being persecuted. Right here in America, people are being persecuted for their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as pressure arises, we want to be sure that we're standing and saying and not compromising who he is in our hearts and in our lives. I don't ever want to compromise. I don't want the pressure to be too great or the compromise to take place in me because of fear of man over the fear of the Lord. And I'm saying that to you because of this. When we have things in our heart, we like to be liked by other people. How many of you love it when people hate you? I mean, you know, people will say, well, I don't care what people think of me. But we all like somebody to like us, right? We do. We like to be a part of what's going on. We like it when other people like us. But the thing is, if you let those things drive you, if those are the things that matter to you, then little by little you will begin to compromise what is right to be able to fit in or to be able to be liked by the others. You with me? You've probably all done it when you were kids at some time or another. You compromised in an area because of wanting to be liked or wanting to fit in or wanting to do whatever. I have. And you know, we teach our children, and I felt like the Lord was saying this morning, it's imperative that we teach this to our kids because they're really going to be the ones who are going to catch the end of this as the Lord's coming back. They're going to catch more of this than even us. They're going to be facing more than we will face right now. We must be prepared, but we must prepare our kids. And to teach them things like, well, it doesn't matter what they think of you. Oh, it doesn't matter if you don't fit in. That's not enough. Tell them why. Go further. Teach them. Help them understand. Because there'll come a point where you'll cave in. You'll compromise in areas. You'll do like Saul did. I felt the pressure of the people. Or I felt the pressure. I really wanted to fit in. Everybody was doing so-and-so and I didn't get to be a part or whatever. Teach your children now. Because if they compromise, all that's happening is they are becoming more and more developed in the fear of man rather than the fear of God. And when there comes a day when it's going to matter, their stand of the fear of man or the fear of God, will they cave or will they be strong and able to stand strong? Amen. Are y'all with me? I don't want to be trapped or ensnared by the fear of man. I want to be free to live by the fear of the Lord so that not only does he have my back, not only that, But I also, like Moses, I can fulfill all the things that he's told me. That matters to me. It matters to me to do the stuff that he purposed for my life. We were singing that in that song this morning. It matters to me. And it matters to me that when I'm gone, if the Lord were to tarry and I'm gone, it matters to me that my kids know and they're ready and they'll fulfill all the stuff. If y'all don't, I'm gonna be mad as fire. You better finish it out and do it well. And I'm not talking about just my blood kids. I'm talking about my children, the people in this home, in this house. It matters to me. Jesus warned them. He said, they will betray you. They will persecute you. They'll put you out of the synagogue. You'll be hated. Some even killed for my sake and for my name's sake. I want a strong, healthy fear of the Lord. How about you? I do. I want a strong, healthy fear of the Lord. I don't mean where I'm scared. He loves me. He's my Father. But I want to obey Him. I want to do the things that please Him. I had a healthy fear of my mama. I really did. Because she would back it up with a powerful hand. She did. But I also had great fear of her as in a respect and an honor of who she was. And I didn't want to do anything to mess that up. It wasn't just I was scared of her. I was. When she was 88, I had a healthy fear of her. I'm not joking. Didn't you? Carrie said she real heavy-handed. Yes, she was. She was real heavy-handed. I've had her go to hug a man and pat him on the back and him go like that. Oh, woman. And I want a healthy fear of the Lord. And you know, that's really something that we as parents can teach and train our children in them learning to not be scared of you. Like, I was scared of Daddy. I was scared of Daddy. A little bit Ruthie. But I had a healthy, respectful fear of her. And the Lord wants you to know that He loves you. That's why He disciplines you. That's why He corrects you. That's why He doesn't let you just get away with everything. But it's to your advantage to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Because not only does He have the power to do whatever with you and give you life, He has the power to sustain your life. And He will. He will. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I want us to teach our kids well. I want them to understand what it means to, what does it look like to give in to other people and the pressure of that and how very real that is. It is very real. If you've ever been a kid, you know it. If you've ever been an adult, you know it. It's very real. The pressure is there. The intimidation can work sometimes with us. Especially if we really want to be liked. And we really want to be a part. We want to train them up well. And we want to set that example for them in our home of the fear of the Lord. And for them to learn it with us because that teaches them how to fear the Lord as well. Amen. So Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You always know what we need and when we need it. And You know the hour and the day that is ahead of us. and what we're going to need to know and what's going to help equip us and empower us for those days. So, Lord, I thank you for the equipping of your word. I thank you for the equipping of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you make us strong in you and in the power of your might. And we declare with our mouths, Lord, for every area of my life where I have feared man, maybe because I've been insecure, maybe because of whatever my upbringing or whatever, that you would touch that spot and bring freedom and deliverance in that area. That no more will we fear man. No more will we cave because we need man, but we fear God, the one who is the giver of life. Help your people, Lord. Help them and empower them. Help them this week on their jobs. Help them in their homes and in the community. Help us, Lord, to be examples of you. People who live out our lives in such a way that people can see you in us. And for every place that we are growing in that, we celebrate. We're not going to look down on ourselves because we haven't arrived yet. But for every place of growth, we celebrate that right now in Jesus' name because you celebrate it. We thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for Linda Hook, for her family. Lord, bless them and for every other family who has loved ones who have died in a conflict protecting our United States of America. And we say unashamedly, Lord, have mercy on America and God bless America. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Does anybody need prayer for anything?